In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 21, February 23rd, 1927. And we're continuing with divine life, with what this divine will is all about. And it's really a new beginning for us and for all of humanity. As John Paul II prophesied, everything that he did for those 27 years, he kept on telling everybody, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. Get ready for a new beginning for the church and the world. He was really trying to get us ready for where we are right now. And we're seeing everything basically falling apart around us. And not to panic, not to say doom and gloom, but Jesus is getting everything in order. He's getting everything ready. As Lord, he has to give humanity what it wants. And for each person individually, so we look at our lives, and if we are seeking the Lord, seeking eternity, then it's total trust. As he said, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. So this new and divine way of holiness is very, very close. It's a new beginning that our God wants us to live. So in February 23rd, 1927, in volume 21, Jesus says, so the soul in whom my divine will reigns places herself in the condition of God himself. Okay, so what does that mean? It doesn't mean you become God, but you're in the condition that God has created for humanity. When Adam and Eve chose their human will and rejected God's holy divine will, God basically said, you can't stay in paradise anymore. You've decided to follow and listen to and obey the evil one. And so therefore, we were banished from paradise, heaven, eternity, and basically cast to earth, as the devil was cast to earth. Jesus says, I saw the evil one fall like lightning from heaven to earth. So what Jesus is saying, the soul that chooses the divine will, that it reign in the soul as God originally planned, puts themselves back in the condition of God himself, both of glory and again now of sorrow, what Jesus had to go through. The redemption is glory, resurrection, but also is the sorrow. It's the what our Lord had to go through to redeem us. And it depending on whether the creature receives the glory, receives this life of Jesus, or rejects it. So everything that we're doing on earth has consequences. So what are we thinking? What are we saying? What are we doing with our intellect, memory, and will? What is our life about? And, you know, they say this is a time of an awakening, a time of renewal, a time of restoration. That's what Jesus says about Louisa. He says, you are the third Eve. He says, as the, not the destroyer, but the one who repairs, redoes everything. And that's our job with Louisa, is repairing and redoing not only our own lives, not only our family's life, not only our nation, but all of humanity. As Jesus did on the cross, we don't have to go through that crucifixion, but Jesus says, those who I choose basically pick up their cross and follow me. We go through life with physical, spiritual, mental, emotional pains, sufferings, and our job is to recognize that Jesus has gone through this, and the Father is asking us to embrace this divine will, if you want to say, in placing ourselves back in the condition of that God wanted for humanity. So the glory, Jesus says, because the soul acts, can bring good and the life of Jesus to everyone, not only your family, not only yourself, your family, your friends, your neighbors, but to all of humanity. So when you do your rounds of creation, when you pray your round of creation, pray your round of redemption, what happens at that point is your the face of the earth is changing. Why? It's Jesus in you that's doing it. You're just cooperating. You're like obeying and being faithful to what God wanted from the beginning. Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient. So what does Jesus and Mary do? The new Adam and the new Eve do is they bring to humanity this Catholic life, this universal life. So our job is to be faithful and obedient to Christ and his church. And it seems as if humanity, Christ has done everything. Our Lord has done everything. He's redeemed us. Our Lady was with Jesus at Calvary. He's given us the sacraments and sacramentals. He says to Louisa, this is the medicine that brings healing to the people. And again, like the greatest healing sacrament is confession. When we confess our sins and receive absolution from the priest, what happens is we are filled with grace. We are filled with goodness. I mean, God has forgiven our sins, and we're full of grace to begin to live again of this abundant life. And we fail. Why? Because we're still in the fallen nature, but all of that is coming to an end. Our Lady told us to Bruno in 1947, everything that is coming to an end, the reign of the evil one, after 6,000 years, the new era is very close. Remember, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, it's right here, he says. Now with Louisa, we can begin to live heaven on earth. We really can. And what is heaven? It's peace, joy, and happiness. What is heaven? It's praising God, loving God, glorifying God, worshiping God, praising our King, our Lord, our Savior, our Master. And that's what the rounds are. The rounds are entering into this divine, I love you in all of creation. We begin to, Jesus says, I gave you human senses for God, that you participate in God. The priest does this at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water in the chalice. We are that drop of nothing, entering into that cup filled with wine, and that drop of water becomes wine. We share, then in the prayer of the priest is when we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. So the glory of our acts in the divine will bring the good of the life of Jesus to everyone. This is great. This is exuberant. He says, this is infinite. So we're participating in this divine life. The sorrow, because not all creatures take that good, because Jesus says, my very life remains suspended without bringing the benefits of my divine life, is sorrow that surpasses all the sorrows. So we see Our Lady's tears. And if you haven't prayed the prayers of Our Lady's tears, check the internet and begin to pray, to begin to understand the great sorrow that Our Lady is going through. And at the cross, Jesus said to Our Lady, this is your children, through John. And then he said, he's saying to the children through the Saint John is, this is your mother, take care of her, bring her into your home. Your home is your heart. You know, and so this is what God is asking of us. He's asking us to those prime gifts of intellect, memory, and will, not to have them focused on the things of the earth anymore, but really focus where our home is. Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, my children, she says, are going to enter into eternity where they belong. We don't belong here. This is a bus station. We're waiting. Well, what are we doing? What are we doing while we're waiting? Usually at a bus station, you're reading, you know, or focused on, well, I mean, study, if you want to say. What are you doing here on earth? It should be getting ready to live in the kingdom, getting ready to live in eternity. So what does Jesus say? I give to my church the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, the second bread. The third bread is your wonder bread, which God feeds us with. He gives us this nourishment. The second bread is the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, where for 15 minutes after we receive Holy Communion, we're in communion with God, the real presence of Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm helping my children prepare for the perennial communion of the first fiat. The first fiat is where Adam had, where he walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. There was no separation. It was one with God, fused with God. And that's what he's getting us ready for, this new and divine way of holiness. That's why the study of dogma and doctrine, the study of the catechism, the study of sacred scripture, the study of the tradition of the church. The tradition is older than sacred scripture. So to enter into this life, this universal life, this Catholic life, is to prepare us for eternity, to be found worthy to praise God for all eternity. So he's saying, how do you want to live this life? He says, this is the sorrow that God's going through. Not all creatures take that good that God has given to humanity, because Jesus says, my very life is suspended. It's not reigning in the soul without bringing the benefits of my divine life. Therefore, the sorrow that Our Lady goes through, the sorrow that our Lord goes through, that they have done everything. And the time is short, as Our Lady said, because time is coming to an end. Why? So that we can get ready to live in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This fulfillment of the Our Father is very close. And the evil one knows his time is coming to an end. But you have to remember, what we're going to go through is going to be bumpy, but it's like I've mentioned before, being on a stagecoach going through the field, not a road, hitting pots and dips and, you know, ruts that are in the field, bouncing all over on this wooden plank that you're sitting on riding through. But it's to understand how short this is going to be. It's going to be until the horse is tired and the horse has to just stop running. This time that we're in is going to be bumpy. It's going to be interesting, to say the least, but God is with us. And that's why we want to live like Saint Joan of Arc. I am not afraid. I was born for this time. God is with me. And that's what the Book of Heaven teaches us. It's not to be afraid, not to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. We were born for this time. God predestined us to live at this time. He has given us the Book of Heaven. He wants our names written in the Book of Life in heaven. But the way and the how this is going to happen, to be brought to perfection, is found in the Book of Heaven. And nobody's there yet. We're striving for it. We want it, but nobody's there yet. As soon as we become negative, I have had people talk to me on the phone. I'm living in the divine will. You know, you're not listening to what Jesus is saying. And I said, you sound upset. Well, I am upset. Well, you're not in the divine will then. So how can you say you're living in the divine will when we're falling in and out of the divine will continuously? God is testing us continuously to see when, he says, when I find the souls that want the divine will more than anything, I will give it to the world. Our test is to be one with Louisa, to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations. And he's really going to test us, because it's going to get tough. He says it's like giving birth. The pains become more intense. The pains become more frequent. But these pains are universal. They're all around us. So in Volume 21, February 26, 1927, Jesus says, my daughter, for you, there is no need of exposition, because one who does the will, my will, has the greater and more continuous exposition that my divine will displays in the whole of creation. So here, Louisa was saying to Jesus, I want Eucharistic adoration. I want this to see you, to participate in you, to adore you, love you, praise you, thank you, bless you, worship you. Now he's talking to Louisa. He's not talking to us. Eucharistic exposition, adoration is important for us. We're not where Louisa is. We're not there. Again, God took everything away from her so that her whole focus was Jesus, Jesus himself. So he says, I want you. See, this again, this is why God wants us to do the round of creation, praying the round of creation. I want you to begin to embrace this exposition of my love, my will, my life in creation. Now think about that. What is the rounds about is to fall in love with God. So we see, like Louisa would say, I see the fiat in creation. I see the fiat in redemption. This life, this love of God. What is the fiat? The fiat is the I love you in every blade of grass. The I love you in every grain of sand. The I love you in every drop of water. The I love you in every leaf on a tree. The I love you in the clouds. The I love you in the color of the sky. The I love you in the color of creation. You know, each thing has a beautiful I love you. I love spring. Because the green and the yellow blend together in the spring. It's just like life. It's all the I love yous. And he says, each created thing is animated by the divine will. The divine will forms the innumerable expositions for as many things that exist. So he says, who forms my delight in the Holy Eucharist? He says, it's my divine will. This is obvious. That we don't want to keep Jesus alone. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. And when we have that adoration of our God each day, I mean, if we spend our time with our Eucharistic Lord, Holy Mass, receiving communion, being one with God in the Holy Eucharist, he says, you basically your eyes will be opened. Your spiritual eyes will be open to see the fiat. And all of creation, you begin to experience with your senses, the sight, the sound, the taste, the smell of God, if you want to say, of the I love you, the I love you said all around. That was Adam. There was a difference between Adam and Eve. Jesus shows us that Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening, the scripture says. When Eve was created, when she came from Adam's side, and again, side in Hebrew means, you know, like breaking apart and looking, you know, they were looking at each other for the first time. And he says, this is flesh of my flesh. This is bone of my bone. This is woman. And that's what Jesus said on the cross, woman, you know, you are the spouse of Christ, if you want to say. You are the oneness with God. Here is your son. Here is your children. And he says, son, here is your mother. And so this new Adam and this new Eve is given to humanity, you know, and what God is saying now is I want you to see the way Adam saw creation with the divine I love you. I want you to breathe that in, this divine I love you. I want you to dive into this infinite ocean of love. So he says, if the sacramental host were not animated by my supreme will, the divine life would not exist in the Holy Eucharist. It would be a simple white host that would not deserve the adoration of the faithful. So Jesus is saying to Louisa, I want you to have more. I want you to adore the Lord God Almighty in the Holy Eucharist. He says, this is what you're called to be, participate in God, adoring God, loving God, praising. That's heaven, worshiping God, allowing our time to be with him, our love to be with him. And then he says, but I want more for you. I want you now to enter into not giving up the Holy Eucharist. He says, this is what the children of God deserve to do is to adore God, to love God, to praise God. He says, but I want you to have more. I want you to begin to see in the round of creation, the round of redemption, what Jesus and Mary went through so that we were redeemed. The new Adam and the new Eve, so that we will begin to live this abundant life of the divine will, which they possess, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. But I want you to begin to see, Jesus says, the way Adam saw, the way Adam heard, the way Adam tasted, the way Adam smelled of all the I love yous. So when we pray the round of creation every day when you pray the round of creation, you're going to fall more in love with God. You're going to see. I mean, did you ever think of falling in love with the color, the blue sky, the gray clouds, the white clouds, the ocean? I mean, he even makes the ocean, the Pacific and the Atlantic, two different colors, if you want to say. You know, I want you to see the I love yous of all of creation. I want you to dive into this infinite ocean of love. I want you to become aware of creation as Adam did. Adam saw the I love yous of God, and he was fascinated. He was fascinated by the beauty that was all around him. And that's what God is. How can you be sad? How can you be worried? How can you be fearful when you see all the I love yous, hear the I love yous, all the I love yous, smell all the I love yous, taste all the I love yous? How can you be sad? Jesus says, I want to give you more. So he says to Louisa, he says, I want you to have this greater understanding of the I love yous, a more continuous exposition, he says, displayed by all of creation. This divine I love you. So our Lord is asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. If you haven't been praying the rounds, start that. And I would begin with a round of Easter Pentecost. You could continue that all the way through to the Feast of Christ the King. And every day as you enter into this divine I love you, your whole life changes. The world is changing. As you pray this, the evil one hears what the prayer that he stopped Adam from praying. He hears the divine I love yous of Jesus and Mary. It's an explosion of I love yous because we pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This is an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God in the name of every human being. So when you pray your rounds, what happens is God hears all of humanity, past, present, and future, all of humanity praying with your voice. This is an explosion. It's as if everyone was living in the divine will. That's the life of Jesus. That's the life of Mary. That's what we're participating in. This new and divine way of holiness begins with the praying the rounds. Focus on that this summer. You know, focus on learning. I mean, I was talking to one person once and they said, oh, we pray 8 hours a day. How many hours do you want us to pray? No, it's not the prayer. It's not more prayer, but changing your prayer to be not the prayer of the saints. That's what we basically pray, but the prayer of Jesus and Mary, the way that Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. It's a choice that you make that, I love the prayers of St. Gertrude. I pray the prayers of St. Gertrude. I love the prayers of St. Teresa of Lisieux. I love the prayers of, yes, they're beautiful. They're holy. They're saintly. They're good. But it's not the way Jesus prayed. Because the saint's name is there. This was their way of doing the will of God, praying by doing the will of God. Jesus lived in the will of God. Mary lived in the will of God. This is what they gave to Louisa. That's why Louisa is the firstborn, the newborn. She possesses this life that is just completely astonishing. This divine life that our God wants us to dive into. So Jesus says, in volume 21, March 5th, 1927, my daughter, my humanity came upon earth as though in the middle of times. Okay. That's 2,000 years ago, the middle of times, in order to reunite the past and when the fullness of my divine will reigned in man. So it's the past, when Adam lived in the fullness of the divine will, Jesus coming in the middle, the fullness of time, to live his life, Our Lady's life, the new Adam and the new Eve, for all of humanity, again, bringing to the earth the Catholic faith, the universal life. Now, where we are now is the end. Now, it was 4,000 years. I mean, it was really 2,000 years from Adam to Noah, 2,000 years from Noah to Jesus, 2,000 years from Jesus to now. It's still in the middle that when Jesus came, but it's a shorter time now because of Jesus coming to the earth. We don't have to wait 4,000 years. Half the time is over. That means it's going to begin. It's going to begin. When we go back to this fullness of the divine will living in Adam, but even more than that, Jesus says, Adam didn't have me, Jesus says, as his Adam. He didn't have my mother, Jesus says, as you, Louisa, have. It's more that God is giving. That's why on Holy Saturday night, we say, oh, happy fall of Adam. How can we be happy living like this? Because the kingdom is coming. Because of what? This failure of Adam. God is so in love with us, he's going to give us more, doubling what he gave to Adam, basically. So he says, in creation, everything was at its own. Everything had its kingdom. Everything, the divine will operated, and divine life was reigning in everything with Adam. Everything was alive in paradise. He says, and the I, God, Jesus says, enclosed within me this fullness of the divine will. So Jesus says, I took this life that Adam lost, paradise, heaven, and I enclosed it within me with its fullness of my divine will, and binding those in the present. First, I myself made the model in order to form the remedy. So he is the new Adam. The remedies what we've had for the last 2,000 years, he says, are the sacraments and sacramentals. These are the remedies that we have for our fallen nature. We are still ill. We have been redeemed, but we haven't yet been sanctified. Sanctification is coming soon. And that's why God is saying to every person, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. You want heaven? How much do you want? 30, 60, or 100 fold? What do you want? I have to give you what you want. And he says to those who want hell, if I don't want you to go there, Jesus says, but if that's what you choose, I can't prevent that. You, this is what you want. You have a free will to choose. So look, we have to look at our free will. Are we wanting the kingdom, or are we wanting our own miserable human will? What is our human will? Our human will is everything that we say when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And it's separate from you. And I don't want to live like this. I want to turn back to you, Lord. I want to be full of grace. I want the life that you gave to your mom. I want the life that you had, Jesus. I want the life that you and Our Lady breathed into Louisa. This new and divine way of holiness. This is what God is asking. So he says, first, I made myself the model in order to form the remedies that were needed. That's the sacraments, the helps, the teachings that were necessary in order to heal mankind. And that's what confession is. That's what going to Holy Mass is about, receiving Holy Communion, spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, praying the Holy Rosary, wearing the scapular, following the teachings of the church. And we're weak. We're human. We have been redeemed, but the evil one knows our weaknesses. And our nature is to because of Adam's sin, to fall into sin. So God gives us the remedies, the sacraments, the sacramentals of the church. And now he says, I'm going to give you the sacrament of sacraments. That's the Holy, that's the divine will. The sacrament of sacraments I want to give to my children. what's coming is a new and divine way of holiness. What's coming is, it's so close, the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, a new and divine way of holiness that our God wanted from the beginning. But we had to go through the 4,000 years of the patriarchs, of the prophets, begging for the Messiah to come, to redeem us. Our Lady then, with her perfection as Theotokos, the Mother of God, she, because of her prayers, Jesus was conceived. And then Jesus was born. And then Jesus redeemed us through his cross and resurrection. It's his suffering that he went through. And now 2,000 years later, with the Holy Church, with the sacraments and sacramentals, with our dogma and doctrine, with the sacred scripture, and most especially our tradition, what is happening is God is saying, now watch what I'm going to do. It seems like everything's falling apart, but God's getting everything in order. He's saying to each person, what do you want? Time has come to an end. Jesus, Our Lady says to us to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era of Lucifer being in charge of the earth, the prince of this earth. That's the fight. That's the final battle. And our life is to be one with God, praising God, glorifying God, worshiping God, adoring God, and conquering the evil one, not only in our own life, but in our families, in our nations, and in the world, in the universe. So he says, I've given you the teachings of the Holy Church, which are necessary, he says, to heal humanity. And then I bound the prosperity to the fullness of the divine will that reigned in the first times of creation. That's what he's now doing. He's giving us the fullness of this divine will that reigned in Adam in the beginning. But it's more than that. It's double that because Jesus is the new Adam. Mary is the new Eve. This is not limited to a human holiness, a human sanctity, but sharing in divinity. We really literally become that drop of water, entering into that cup filled with wine, fusing and diffusing and becoming wine. The fallen human nature isn't supposed to be us. We were supposed to live this abundant life of Adam, and he failed. Jesus comes as the new Adam. Mary comes as the new Eve. And now they have a newborn, Louisa. What we have within a reaching distance, if you want to say, is this gift of gifts. So he says again, this is volume 21, March 13th, 1927. In fact, even though my divine will extends everywhere and holds its empire over everything. So he says, this is the life of God that he breathed, the Ruach of God that he breathed into Adam, that when he said fiat lux, the universe was created. My divine will extends everywhere and holds everything, holds its empire over everything. Yet, if the creature loves the divine will and makes itself all love, the divine will makes itself all love and gives its love to humanity if they want it. That's the round of creation. That's the round of redemption. Praying the round of creation, you are beginning to see with the eyes of Jesus and Mary all the I love yous. How did Jesus and Mary live when they were on earth? They had those 30 years of silence. They participated in the divine will. They recognized all the I love yous. They were filled with peace, joy, and happiness, adoring the Father, praising the Father, glorifying the God, Father. This heaven was on earth with Jesus and Mary. And this I love you of creation was being recognized, was being heard and seen and tasted and smelled and touched. Everything was beginning to embrace this divine I love you. This is what God is offering us. And little by little, this is the important thing. Little by little, step by step, we're walking into this. little by little. The fullness isn't here yet. We want the fullness. We want to live in the divine will. But there's so much that we have to do. There's so much to enter into this. Like Jesus says, when you want the divine will, Jesus is conceived in your heart. Then your acts that you do is one more molecule that you're adding to Jesus. You're forming Jesus, or Jesus is being formed in your heart by every thought, every word, every deed that you're doing in the divine will, until the fullness is there. And then what does that mean? That means that Jesus is there. We're then in God's image and likeness, as God wanted from the beginning. That hasn't happened yet. It's going to. It's this Jesus' promise. But he says, I'm looking for the souls who are making the divine will everything. That means there is no worry in your life. There's no fear in your life. There's no anxiety in your life. You're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Why? Because Jesus is there. Jesus gaze in my gazing. Jesus listen in my listening. Jesus talk in my talking. Jesus walk in my walking. It's that you're one with God as Adam was. That's not here yet. It's close. He hasn't found the souls who want the divine will more than anything. He hasn't found that yet. We haven't proved to Jesus that we're failing all the time. Whether we go to confession each week, we're failing all the time by being worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. God is testing us continuously. He has to. Who is ready for this? He keeps on saying. Luisa was. Luisa is. But something great is coming. You know, again, the illumination of conscience is found by reading the Book of Heaven. What is the illumination of conscience? God says to Luisa, the greatest thing I can give to humanity, the greatest gift, is letting them know who they are and who I am. That means I am nothing. God is everything. I am weak. You are strong. I am little. You are infinite. The focus is on Jesus. The focus is on how beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving. That's why when you go to Eucharistic adoration, you fall on your knees and you fall in love with God. You are so magnificent that here you are, as you hid yourself in the womb of Mary for 9 months, you have hid yourself in the Holy Eucharist for 2,000 years, alone mostly. The churches are empty, more so now than ever before. Who's spending time with our Eucharistic Lord? Who's looking at him? I've seen people go into church reading a book. They either bounce off their knee, open up the book, look at their watch, time is up, close the book and leave. Was there anything good in that at all? You read a little bit. Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Where's your soul? Is it being consumed in love? That's what the saints tell us. To be consumed in love with our Eucharistic Lord. Or are we just reading a book? It's to fall in love with God. That's what God is waiting. That's what God is waiting for. He says, if the creature loves the divine will makes itself all love. And the divine will gives its love. And if the soul wants the divine will as life, this is your desires. This is your heart beating. This is your breathing the breath of God, the ruah of God. If the soul wants the divine will as life, the divine will forms its life in the soul. If the soul wants to let the divine will reign, the divine will forms its kingdom in the soul. It's up to you. There's no rules or regulations. It's what do you want? So Jesus has given us the Book of Heaven to show us what he is expecting. You want the divine will? Do you want life? Do you want the divine will to form life in you? Do you want the divine will to reign in you? Do you want the divine will to form his kingdom in you? He's saying, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. So he's giving us a hint of how to live in the divine will as we read and study and put into practice the Book of Heaven. But when we're in the Eucharist, put into practice what Jesus has taught you during the week, during the day. I mean, listen to what he says. It's very, very clear. He says, if the creature loves the divine will, the divine will makes itself all of love, and the divine will gives its love to the soul. If the soul wants the divine will to become life, the divine will forms its divine life in the soul. If the soul wants to let it reign, the divine will forms its kingdom in the soul. It's what do you want? It's where's your heart? When you walk into church, do you just bounce off your knees, or do you say to the Lord, you are my Lord, you're my master, you're my king, you're my savior, you're my God, you're my all. What do you want? God has to give you what you want. There's no limit. There's no limit. The divine will carries out its acts according to the dispositions of the creatures. Now, if you don't know what the disposition, I think we did 3 talks on the disposition. I think it was August, September, and October. 3 5-hour talks. What is your disposition? Is your disposition love? Is your disposition to know God, to love God, to possess God? What's your disposition? God has to answer. God has to give you what you want, what you long for. That's why scripture says, ask, believe that you're received and it is yours. Jesus taught Louisa the command prayer. As Peter walked on the water, and before Peter got out, he saw Jesus walk on the water. He says, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. He says, come. He gets out of the boat and he walks on the water. Humans don't do this, but God can do it in the human. And as soon as he became afraid, he cries out, Jesus, save me. And Jesus didn't say, good job, Pete. You walked 20 feet and then you began to sink. He goes, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? What do you want? That's our faith. He says, the divine will possesses the regenerative virtue. That regenerative is the best word in sacred scripture. Regenerate divine life, regenerate divine sanctity, regenerate divine peace, regenerate divine reconciliation, regenerate divine happiness, regenerate divine light, regenerates divine beauty, regenerates divine grace, the way God originally planned Adam's life. And now with this gift of gifts, with this prodigy of prodigies, that's what God is offering us. This paragraph here, this volume 21, March 13th, 1927. If you don't do anything else this summer, each day read this paragraph. It's one paragraph, but it's going to show you it's up to you. What do you want? It's up to you. How are you doing this? Are you getting into this regeneration of light and life and sanctity, of peace, of happiness, of beauty, of grace? Are you returning to the life that God wants for you, the life of the new Adam Jesus and the new Eve Mary? This is, time is short. Time is very short. It's, as Her Lady said in 1947, it's coming to an end. The kingdom is coming. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We pray for that. That holy anointing that Jesus gave to Louisa, to have the invincible strength to live in the divine will and no longer live in our human will, to bring divine healing to you, little children, the holy divine will, to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, to get ready for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.